Welcome to On Texas Football. It's a special edition. The Big 12 releases its schedule today. Just about 10, 15 minutes ago, the Big 12 released its schedule for 2023. Kind of a long-awaited thing. They were expected to do it more than a month ago, but it looks like it got caught up. And with the release today, I'm here with Joe Cook of InsideTexas.com, the beat reporter. Joe, what were your initial thoughts on the Longhorns and their schedule for 2023?
Well, I don't think there was any, malintent or ill intent from the conference. I think it's a pretty balanced schedule. I think that everything that the conference, tried to do in being fair, they were probably able to do that. You don't have to travel to Provo. Your new team matchup is with Houston, who you're very, very familiar with. The only thing is, just look at that home slate. There's not a whole lot going on there. On the home slate, you play Rice, you play Wyoming, you play Kansas, you play BYU, which I guess maybe there's a little intrigue. The best team is probably at the end of the year, and it's Texas Tech, and it's the day after Thanksgiving. So, the home slate is kind of mild. Maybe that's going to be a thing in the past, maybe as soon as next year or even the year after with the switch to SEC. But overall, I think it's a fair schedule, and for Texas goals, which we all know are to at least be in the Big 12 title game, I think it sets up well. That bye, it's not listed on there, but it's in between, the bottom of that first column. Oh, there it is, week 7, of course. But yeah, it's right after the OU game, right before a short trip to Houston that a lot of players on the team will really enjoy, right in the middle of the year. So pretty well timed. And honestly, it's right before what's seems like it's going to be the tougher stretch of games. This doesn't seem challenging on the surface, but you and I always know how Big 12 teams can step up and do well in a given year. Heck, TCU is a national finalist this past year, and Kansas State beat them in the Big 12 title game. And I don't think a lot of people expected, Kansas State was a dark horse team to be in the title game at best. So, but on the surface, this looks like a very manageable schedule for Texas. And the obvious big challenge is, week 2 at Alabama. Of course, Oklahoma is going to always be tough. That game's always something with the emotions and, with the slowly but still growing quality Oklahoma's got going over there. But nothing on this really challenges me. I'm trying to think of like a 3-game stretch that seems, the most fearsome. And it may be the last 3 games because there's not a whole lot of other options elsewhere.
Yeah, I would say BYU and Kansas State at home, then going to TCU on paper might be. I do think Texas Tech will be good again this year. It's a back-ended schedule, in my opinion. I think that's a fair comment. Going to Houston, going to go to the city of Houston. DeLoss Dodds, when he was athletic director, vowed never to return to Houston to play at their home stadium. So I'm sure he's going to be interested to see that there. At his house in Lakeway, he's probably thumbing through the internet today, getting a little chuckle out of that. A couple of things I noticed about this schedule and about the Big 12 as a whole. First of all, every Texas team, Texas-based team, whether that's TCU, Houston, Baylor, Texas Tech, or Texas, they all play one another. So all 5 of those teams have a round robin of sorts. What I also noticed is Oklahoma State is the only former Big 12 team that Texas does not play, along with West Virginia, those two, okay? So West Virginia and Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State obviously a charter member of the Big 12. So furthermore, a couple other notes. Kansas State, I saw this, and this, if Matt, our producer, will put up the larger schedule now when he gets a chance, I want to show this. Kansas State plays Texas teams 5 weeks in a row.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow.
It's a weird anomaly If you look in the middle there, they start on 10-14 with Tech at away at Tech, home TCU, home Houston, away Texas, home Baylor. Theoretically, just from looking at last year's schedule and last year's results, K-State may have walked away with the toughest schedule in the conference, and they don't even play Oklahoma. Because Oklahoma, remember, finished 3-6 in conference. The Sooners, by the way, no Baylor, no Texas Tech, and no Kansas State for Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's a good draw for them. That means they get what? They have Central Florida and Houston and BYU. So it looks like no Houston. They have Central Florida, Cincinnati, and BYU. Does that look right?
Yes, it is.
So they got three. They avoided the Houston matchup. Not a whole lot of history there. Kind of interesting, Dylan Gabriel return game, I guess to say. And you know what? Where is Bedlam on this? Bedlam's at the beginning of November, so could be the last time we see that rivalry too. Maybe next year, but signs point to it not being the case, at least so far from what we've heard. But, I'm just kind of curious, looking at Houston's schedule, I'm glad you mentioned DeLoss Dodds. Hopefully TD ECU Stadium doesn't have a metal scaffolding that they have doubling as bleachers for this game, because I was at that game. I remember it pretty clearly at Robertson Stadium. But, the thing is avoiding Oklahoma State and avoiding West Virginia, something that you mentioned, those are two teams that seem to be on a downtick. Neil Brown's probably on the hottest seat in this conference, and Oklahoma State, who knows what's going on up there. You have your quarterback and basically every major contributor that if you're a head coach like Mike Gundy, you would want back. They left. They went elsewhere. You lose your defensive coordinator. You're switching to a new style of defense with an accomplished yet still Division II coordinator. Man, and Texas doesn't get to play them at home after, several different occasions where I don't want to say nefarious, that's not the right word, but questionable officiating has very much factored into the game. There's a little bit of a sting there, but overall, I feel like if you're looking at this schedule with Texas, aside from some not particularly exciting home matchups, you're very pleased with the competitiveness and how you think you'll be competitive against the teams that are heading your way. And then, like I said, the bye. I think that's real advantageous too. Right in the middle of the year, kind of a good point, not to where you're, going down the stretch and thinking, oh, this is 10 weeks in a row, or, getting into November and thinking, oh, I've been going since August. Like, you're right in the middle. I think that's pretty fair. Seems like all the teams are like that. So did you notice that Texas and Texas Tech has a common opponent out of conference this year? Both are going to play the Wyoming Cowboys, and it looks like Tech's even going to Laramie. So kind of interested in that to see, just how that program, all those programs interact with each other. What else stands out to you, Bobby? I'm trying to just
couple other things. I mean, I'm looking at this from two standpoints. One, so Texas is playing all of their original Southwest Conference foes. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not playing Oklahoma State, which is an original Big 12 foe. Okay. That's one thing. So I'm really the Big 12 in its origins was a combination of the Southwest Conference and the Big Eight, right? Well, Kansas State, now there were four teams in the original Big Eight that are still in the conference. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Kansas State are five, along with Iowa State. They all play each other except for Kansas State and Oklahoma.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
So Kansas State's not going to have last, I guess they'll have to use this past year as their last moment with the Sooners. As far as Texas is concerned, they play everybody but Oklahoma State. in that category. And I don't think it's a bad schedule. I think that it's interesting that Texas gets Baylor early. That's
on the road.
Yeah,
starting on the road yet again.
First, same as last year, they were at Texas Tech on the road. It's going to be an early early conference game on the road that Texas has to be absolutely ready for. They get Kansas relatively early, whereas when you get Kansas late and you know they have depth issues, it's probably a better matchup for everybody. You know, then they slide into OU, and then they have the bye. What I think is interesting, after the bye, they go to Houston. Well, Houston plays West Virginia the week before at home. But so they don't have a bye, but that game is actually on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So they get 9 days as opposed to the normal seven. I don't think there's any malice here. I don't want to get at that. I think that if any team thinks they got screwed, it's probably Kansas State, to be honest with you. As the defending champs, they've got they've got Texas on the road, Texas Tech on the road. Those are two of the top five teams in the Big 12 last year. They've got Iowa State, Baylor. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. Anything else catch your eye, Joe, that we're talking about here tonight or today, this afternoon, as the Big 12 releases its 2023 college football schedule?
I'm just kind of looking around some of the non-conference games, and there's some teams that were FCS in years past that you have to remind yourself are making the jump. I mean, Sam Houston State's on there several times. So I'm just kind of looking around some of the non-conference matchups. TCU plays Colorado in week one with Deion Sanders. That'll be an entertaining matchup. Looking around the league, Houston's still going to play Rice, but they're also adding UTSA. And that's a team that's going to have Frank Harris back, going to have some talent back. And, that'll be a tough – I mean, I don't think Houston's got an easy start by any stretch. UTSA to Rice to TCU, a little bit of a downturn in Sam Houston, and then at Texas Tech. That's not an easy opening slate for Dana in the first year of their membership in the Big 12.
The only thing I would say there, Joe, is five of the first seven are at home for the
group. Right. Right. Get that.
Yep.
Elsewhere, I can't remember if this happened last year, but remember Oklahoma, it was either Tennessee or Georgia, were told by the SEC to say, like, hey, I know you got non-conference games set up, not just this upcoming year, but in the future, axe those, get rid of them. For some reason, they didn't say the same about Alabama and Texas. Maybe that's because no matter what, it was going to be exit by both those schools. But Oklahoma's got to play, Arkansas State. They'll be able to handle them. Then they play SMU week two. And they play them at home, but that's still a really solid program. Rhett Lashley's got good things going there. Not so much of a test with Tulsa, especially in year one. So, elsewhere, Oklahoma State at Arizona State. I like that. TCU obviously going to U of H. Tech playing Oregon. West Virginia and Pitt doing the backyard brawl again. West Virginia's got that is not a nice schedule. You play Penn State at Penn State. You play Duquesne, which is pretty easy. And then you play the backyard brawl again. And then you play Tech. Not the easiest of openings for Neil Brown. And heck, they may try. And if you go. Let's see. Let's say you get one win heading into the bye. That bye week may be.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
His last week on the job there with the current landscape. So, obviously, the headliner is going to be Texas at Alabama, but there's still some good out-of-conference matchups to look at. Kansas and Illinois, That caught my eye real quick. Of course, Cy-Hawk is always pretty interesting.
I think I was going to say, Joe, week two is impressive. If you just go to the start, Baylor plays Utah.
Yeah,
Baylor hosts Utah. Central Florida goes to Boise State.
Wow.
Cincinnati plays Pitt. Iowa State plays Iowa. Kansas plays Illinois. Oklahoma State goes to Arizona State. Texas goes to Alabama. Texas Tech hosts Oregon. That'll be referendum week on the Big 12.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, because even though there are some other games sprinkled here and there, those will be the primary ones. It looks like to me the very first conference game will actually – the very first new Big 12 conference game will be in week three when TCU hosts Houston. So that will be the first true conference game, if I'm not mistaken here. Do you read that the same as me?
Yeah, they're not doing a week one or a week two thing, so that looks the same. You know, obviously the sport is very much about rivalries. And you look through, you know, there's always going to be the mid-October rivalries, and the Big 12, you know, kept that. It's actually technically the first weekend of October this year, but it's, you know, October 7th. And I think that's traditional anyway. They'll do that if that happens. But I'm looking at that Thanksgiving weekend. There's no traditional rivalries. I mean, if you want to call Texas and Texas Tech a rivalry, which it is, it's never been really a Thanksgiving one. It's kind of done that out of necessity since A&M and Texas stopped playing. But if you look around, I mean, I guess you could call Kansas State and Iowa State Farmageddon a rivalry. U of H and UCF aren't big fans of each other, but they're by no means rivals. Like, that is a very strange weekend of scheduling in the Big 12 conference.
I've got to say this. What's left of the Big 12? What rivalries were there? I mean, take
right.
Texas. I mean,
what rivalries that were then?
I'm not trying to be rude to the rest of the conference. Kansas State's a rivalry, no doubt. But beyond that, Oklahoma State, they're playing in early November now. There's not really anything left. TCU Baylor was thought to be, but that, you know, that was kind of a Gary Patterson, Art Briles thing up and down I-35. I just feel like the Big 12 as a whole has lost any kind of allure from a rivalry perspective, because none of them outside of Texas OU, there's no rivalry in the top 20 in the country out of Texas and Oklahoma would say, hey, these are big rivalry games. All right, we'll have more coverage of the Big 12 football schedule on InsideTexas.com. If you get a chance, please visit us over there. Joe's already written an article, got some stuff going on. We'll have commentary about it. Jerry Hamilton and I will be on a live show tonight, a live stream at 7 o'clock. We'll be talking a little recruiting with National Signing Day tomorrow as well. And Jerry got some intel on Deuce Robinson we need to share for that. But for now, I'm Bobby Burton, and this has been On Texas Football. Thanks a bunch, Joe.
Thank you.